Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison term.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey, everybody, this is Eric Stahl.
And this is Donnie Henry.
And this is the rebooted Liberty Plays podcast, coming to you live from Liberty Tower in Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
All right, so if you don't know, I sound like my regular podcast somewhere else, sorry. I do a couple podcasts, so Donnie and I have decided we're going to try and reboot this thing, and we just had a meeting. We had the monthly meeting for November for the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria, but everything's convoluted, so we just want to maybe talk about a few things that happened in that meeting, maybe talk about some organizational changes, and maybe just talk about the election we just had here a little bit. And we're just kind of freewheeling it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this meeting was a little bit different this month just because generally we meet in person.
Yeah.
But maybe you people out there in podcast land have realized that we're in a lockdown order. So things are kind of not open right now. In our place that we have our meeting, W. Sullivan's, was closed, and yeah. And hopefully they reopen again. But so we had to do it via Zoom, and the show must go on.
Yeah. It's going to be – so normally when we do the Liberty Plays podcast, like there'll be like 8 people around the table. But because of the lockdown order, we had the meeting on Zoom. And I mean, how many people do we have? 14 people on the Zoom?
14, I think. Yeah.
So I'm hoping by moving the microphone between us, maybe this is like a conversation between two guys having a couple beers at a 6-story apartment in Peoria looking over what could be – Libertarian territory, but now it's still covered by Republicans and Democrats, Donnie. Yeah, sorry.
Anyway. Unfortunately. But we do have a good beer. Should we just give them a shout-out? Half Acre, Original Reaper.
Supporting local breweries out of Chicago.
Yeah.
What do we have, like 12 people, 14 people in the meeting tonight?
14.
Yeah.
14.
And when we have the meetings normally at W. Sullivan's, which we have on the third Thursday of every month, we get 25 people, maybe?
Right around, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good turnout, and it's usually very interactive. So Donnie tried to carry that tonight on the Zoom meeting, which is super difficult. I'll give you credit on that.
Yeah, I think we did the best we could with it.
You know? You actually had like little things where you had to interact and all that stuff and raise your hand.
We had a couple of polls. We raised our hand. We had a little fun, you know.
Yeah, and we had the meme of the month, as usual.
We tried to do that.
Right. I think the biggest thing, though, and maybe you can talk to this, is Dana talked a lot about what's going to happen now, because we got ballot access. Maybe talk about what that means too.
Absolutely. So because of COVID, we had an unusual circumstance where we were able to run candidates. So we ran 9 candidates across Peoria and Tazewell County with the goal of getting 5%.
Yeah.
We might have one of the candidates in our presence.
Oh yeah,
today.
I was one of those guys.
Eric Stahl ran for.
We'll talk about that. I mean, that could be towards the end of the show.
It could be. But Tazewell County and Peoria County, if you get 5% in that political subdivision of the county, then from that point forward, you are an established party. And so what that means for us is no more petitioning in the hot summer. No more waiting until the very 3 months out from the election.
Last second, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So now we can run primaries. We're an established party. This is huge for us.
Yeah.
But it also adds some new structural changes. You know, we used to be the Greater Peoria chapter, and now we have to split between the Peoria County and the Tazewell County, and we have to try to figure out how that's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, elect new officers. I mean, there's so much that has to happen. And so Dana talked about that. And one of those things is getting precinct committeemen.
Yeah.
There's just so many things that we're going to have to do.
What's Dana's role with the party?
Dana right now is the secretary.
Okay.
But
State party?
Of our Greater Peoria.
Okay, okay. But doesn't she have a role with the state?
She used to be the chapter development.
Okay, got it.
So, but yeah, she's been amazing. And word on the street is she may run for a higher office.
Oh, cool.
So we'll
awesome.
See. But yeah. And so we ran this campaign. We ran 9 candidates. And in both counties, we got the job done. Eric got 21%, 13,291 votes for Mr. Stahl.
Thank you.
And then in Peoria County, our highest vote getter was Joe Rush for auditor, 22,622, which was 29.84%. Our highest percentage getter was Tom Minman for county board. He actually got 38.54%.
So close.
So close. But on election day, I thought this was pretty cool. He got 49.56%.
That's cool.
And then the big take home is that throughout the entire election, we had in the greater Peoria area 107,279 votes for Libertarian Party candidates, which is pretty cool.
That's wild, isn't it, between Peoria and Tazewell County?
No, it's amazing. And some of those people, that was their first time ever voting for a Libertarian.
I heard it several times. Even at breakfast that morning of the election day, we went out to Rogers Diner. Ken Allison and Caden Elms and I sat down, and a guy I've known for years, I didn't think he really knew who I was through my work, he goes, "Hey, I voted for you today. Never voted Libertarian, but I voted for you." And I'm like, "That's awesome." And I'm like, "All right, that's one."
Yeah, we got one. There is one. You weren't going to go zero.
That's that one, that 13,291.
291, yeah, exactly.
That was Tom. All right, that was cool.
So, but it was exciting. And I just think that it was a powerful movement that we made. And now we're just going to see what happens here. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. So I think, when you and I first got into the party a couple of years ago, we had ballot access. We just didn't utilize it. We weren't formed. I mean, was it Chad Grimm ran for governor and got – did he get 5%?
In 2014, I think in Tazewell County he got 5%. I actually think he got 5% in like 96 of Illinois counties.
That's awesome. But we didn't utilize it.
Yeah, and that was the thing is that we've as a Libertarian Party, we've always ran for these higher office for ballot access.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any infrastructure at the local level. So when you do that, it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah, now there's people like in Woodford County, like there's like three people standing there going, "Oh, we're supposed to do something now, right?"
Yeah, exactly. And I think
that... No slam on Woodford. Sorry.
No, nothing wrong with Woodford. Great people out there. But I will say that I think that we're doing it right here. Yep. I think that we're starting from that local level and working our way up, and I think that's going to build a strong bench.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing, too. I mean, a lot of people go, "I've never voted Libertarian, but I voted for you." Well, that's because there's never been a Libertarian candidate. That's never been an option. I mean, when was the last time there was a Libertarian candidate on the Tazewell County ballot?
No, besides
a state candidate.
Besides a statewide candidate, there has, as far as I know, there has never been a Libertarian candidate in either county.
Yeah, so that's cool. And that's, I think, we had a new member who came on tonight. I think he was friends with Scott. But, he was asking, how come we can't get traction? How come this isn't a movement that people know about? And I told him, it's because at the local level, it's not happening. You can't just keep throwing these Hail Marys. I think Scott had made an analogy of that on my Facebook forum a while back. We have to work, first and 10. We have to get these small accomplishments, and we have to build candidates from the ground up in order to get the name out. And then once you start seeing L's behind people's names on ballots, it won't be so scary when there's one on the national or the state level, right?
It's crazy. When I went down my ballot in Peoria County, and I can't speak this for Tazewell because it's a more conservative county, but in Peoria County, there were more Libertarians on the ballot than Republicans on the ballot. And so that's...
There was almost as many Libertarians as there was Democrats.
I mean, yeah. flip it in Tazewell. Yeah. But man. So I think that this is just going to normalize it.
Yeah.
And then if we get candidates like you, Eric,
that
speak to people, that are in the community, that people know, then all of a sudden it's going to be a normal thing to vote for a Libertarian.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, and when I ran, we could talk about this. Actually, I don't know. Let's review the meeting and we can kind of talk about my experience running for office, because maybe anything I talk about could help somebody else decide to do it. Because believe me, folks, it wasn't until Donnie Henry twisted my arm behind my back and forced me out the door and to be a candidate that I did it.
Maybe we'll talk about this later, but I just want you to let you guys know that at some point, a couple years ago, he said, "Well, when my kids are out of the house, I'll run."
And you didn't forget, did you?
Didn't forget. Yeah, yeah. I got a long memory.
He's like an elephant, but he's not a Republican.
Anyway. No.
So, we had some new people in the meeting tonight on the Zoom, and... Dana talked about the party and what we got to do to organize. Tazewell County now, we have to make a functional group over there. Mm-hmm. So this is the scariest part. I mean, I've been with you guys as a party in Peoria. We made the Tazewell, take that back. We made the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria basically a functioning organization because Tazewell County wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Woodford County probably wasn't really there. And we had people come, I think, from Logan County a couple times.
Yeah. Stark.
Yeah, and Stark. Because Greater Peoria kind of encapsulated, it was an easier group. But now that we've done this, now that we've actually gotten some people voting for us in Tazewell County and Peoria County, we have to do this scary thing, Donnie. We have to take this hatchet and divvy up the loot.
It's true, but I will say this, that Peoria County is so bad that half of my people here in Peoria County have moved to Tazewell County.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got people like Jake Irish and
Scott.
We're
waiting with open arms for you and to love to come over here.
We got more fights to fight over here, but I'm sending you some people, so it's going to make it a little easier.
But
I think that it is a scary thing, and I think that we're still going to function as, you know, a group because we're stronger with bigger numbers, but... Yeah. But I think that we have to start weaning ourselves off of each other. You know, I can't quit you, Eric. I can't quit Tazewell County. Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
We need you, Donnie. See, it's not fair.
But we'll be around.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was heavy on the compliments towards the end of the night towards Donnie. You know, thanking him for everything he did. Because, like I say, Twisted Mirror made me do this. But it wasn't just me. It was nine candidates. I mean, and of those nine candidates, how many arms did you twist?
Every single one of them.
Okay.
Nobody volunteered. None of them. They all got a call when we found out we could do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of them all, man. That's.
So is there anything else in the meeting we should review?
All I would say is that, you know, we always do our meme of the month. That was fun.
But we don't talk about it anymore because it upsets people.
We don't talk about it anymore. Memes seem to upset people. But it's a fun thing we do. You got to be at the meeting to see it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, really it was just, you know, talking about where we're going in the future. And that's... I think it's exciting. Everybody is excited.
Our youngest member in the meeting, she couldn't even vote yet, right?
Nope, couldn't vote.
Did she just turn 18? Or
I think she was 17. Yeah. 17. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So she's looking for, she was already talking about when she can vote in 2022 or whatever.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Maybe she'll be our youngest precinct committee person. She'll be the youngest precinct committee person anywhere.
Our youngest candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great. She can talk. Oh, yeah. That girl... she's going to trade school, and I think she has a lot. She has a lot of knowledge about education and everything right now. It'd be interesting to see where she's at in 2 years.
Absolutely, and it's exciting that young people are starting to see this message and it's resonating. Yeah. You know, I think they get a bad rap that they're all into the socialism stuff. And
well, I mean, let's think. And I'm not going to try and segue off here, but I mean, think about what you're looking at the national candidates. You're looking at 70-year-old dudes. Mm-hmm. You know. Joe Biden doesn't have any new ideas. Donald Trump maybe had some new ideas, but he certainly was just another old dude, mm-hmm. you know. And the population of America is not represented by those people.
Not
so,
at all.
You know.
Well, and when you think about Joe Biden, I think that, you know, people are saying, well, that Joe Biden's going to turn this country left. And I'm like, no, he's not. Joe Biden's going to bring us back to the Bush administration.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
as middle gets. He's the least scary. That's what I was saying earlier in the meeting, because we were all having our predictions about what was going to happen after on election day or on inauguration day, who will be in the White House.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody's getting upset about Joe Biden.
Joe
Biden is the most milquetoast guy that could have possibly put in there.
He is milquetoast. Yeah. You look up milquetoast in the dictionary.
There's a picture of Joe Biden. Yeah.
And old
Joe Biden. Not even young Joe Biden at least would, like, mouth off a little bit. This guy, he's just barely hanging on.
All he's got is a couple of come on mans. Come on, man.
And Jim Carrey's impersonation, I will say...
Amazing.
I'm looking forward to that for the next 4 years.
That is the one highlight of this whole thing. And quite frankly, he revived Jim Carrey's career. If there's one good thing...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was literally... I think I listened to him on another podcast, on the Marin podcast, and he was talking about how he's doing painting. He's got his own art studio down in the Village in New York. And that's what he's been doing. And they must not be that good at painting, since I haven't really seen him, you know, shown anywhere.
No.
But he's so close to Rockefeller Center, he must be doing Saturday Night Live now, which is cool. I can deal with that. I think his imitation is better than Baldwin's Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Here's the thing. I don't feel the hate from
yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I feel the hate from Baldwin.
Yeah, yeah.
He hates Trump, and so you can see that in his act.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think Jim Carrey's going to be fun.
Yeah. Carrey's a parody.
Yeah.
It's not just hate-mongering.
And I love when he talks to himself, too. It's just so good.
Or
so.
Blows a gun. The gun thing, is that legit?
I don't think Smokin' Joe's ever done that.
Okay, all right. I've never seen that on the campaign trail. Not that I was watching it that close.
But I love it.
Yeah.
So let's see. That tie. We got a young lady. We had a good meeting. Dana. We're breaking up the band. Yeah. What else? Anything?
I think that does it for the meeting. I just think that you know, I think we should jump right into kind of the election. I want to know kind of your thoughts and tell the people out there what you thought.
Yeah. So if you don't know, and we haven't done a podcast in forever. I mean, it's been, God, it's probably been a year. And there's going to be a couple things that are going to be a hiccup in this whole thing, because we redirected the website. The Liberty Plays website got redirected to weareliberty.vote. So you could learn about the candidates on the local level. That worked, but that also jacked up the podcast feed. So I'm going to have to rebuild that. So I apologize if it kind of disappeared off the radar. But that's fine, because we kind of have to reboot this website anyway. Where was I going with this? When we did that, how do I want to frame this? I think, what month was it? June, July?
It was June.
June.
June is when we found out.
Okay, so what happened? Did somebody at the state level say, Donnie, you only need 10% of the signatures to get on the ballot.
No. So here's what happened was that in March, so the way that it works is after the established party's primaries, which is in March, we have 90 days to get our signatures. And if you guys remember in March,
you have 90 days from the primary
to get signatures and turn them in.
2,500 in my case in Tazewell County.
2,500 in your case. It was 3,300 in Peoria. I think for congressional races, like 14,000, 25,000 statewide.
Okay.
You know, Danny Maloff needed 25. But remember, you need double those because of the challenges. But bottom line is at that point, the Libertarian Party knew, you know, the governor just literally told us we have to stay home.
Yeah.
And there is no chance that we're going to be able to get people to answer a door and get that many signatures.
So who initiated this? Was there somebody in the Libertarian Party, or was there another party, Green Party?
It was a joint suit. Okay. So mostly the Libertarian Party. The Green Party's kind of fallen off the radar.
Sure. Yeah.
But the Libertarian Party joined with the Green Party, and we hired a lawyer. And actually, this lawyer that we hired somehow has some sort of connection with Mark Cuban's organization.
Okay.
Because Mark Cuban has an organization that specifically litigates cases for fair ballot access. Mark Cuban's a really cool guy.
Okay.
If you guys didn't know, but
maybe he can contribute to my campaign.
Absolutely, absolutely. but he believes in that. So we got this lawyer, and the lawyer put in basically sued the governor and said, "Hey, we can't do this because of your lockdown order. You need to change this." And the governor said, "I ain't doing anything." And then we went to the legislature. "Hey, would you guys mind doing something to help us?" They weren't going to meet. They still haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So they said no. And so we sued them, and we won. And a judge came and said, "No, if you did this lockdown, you need to give them relief." And the relief that they arbitrated was 10% of the original signature requirements. And so at that point, we realized, and I know we all had this conversation, that, oh my gosh, instead of 2,500 signatures, I need 250.
Yeah.
You know, and in Peoria County, instead of 300-something, we needed 3,000, we need 300. And it just went up and down the line, too. I mean, Tom Inman, for county board, in a district, needed 300. And so now we only needed 30. So we just decided, about that.
Wow. Okay.
So at that point, we decided we have to do something.
Yeah.
And that's when I started getting on the horn with everyone. Because it originally just started with I was only going to do two candidates. I was going to do two county candidates, but I think I put out so many feelers, I started getting calls back.
So I didn't have to do it.
You didn't have to do it, but I wasn't going to tell you that. Not at all. I wasn't going to tell you that. So it worked out.
And, So I'm trying to remember how that phone call went. Was it at a meeting, or did you reach out to me?
I think it was a meeting, but I think I actually sicked Damon Dillon on you. I think I sent Damon Dillon to attack you.
Maybe. Damon's basically been the pillar of Tazewell County for the last 20 years for the Libertarian Party. Maybe 30, 40 years. I don't know.
He lives in Dillon Township.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and that's his family's township.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so he's... Yeah. They started that farm out there in Dillon, and so, anyways,
he's one of the original libertarians.
Original libertarians and original Dillon Township guys.
And I think literally, like I said earlier in the show, it was, "Hey, Eric, you said a long time ago once your kids went to school, you'd have time to do it." Well, now's a good time for us. I know you got one kid at school, but the other one's still at home. But would you do that? And I remember talking to my wife and looking at my wife, and I was like, "Hey, do it. You know, let's try it out. Let's see what happens." Mm-hmm. And
I imagine Caden ran.
Yep, auditor.
And I have to imagine the Peoria County people were all like, yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But I think in my case, I think everybody thought, I just got to get 5%. Mm-hmm. And really, you guys applied no pressure whatsoever. Yeah. It was never a case of, I need you to go out and get 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
It was never the conversation. Mm-hmm. It was just, let's get 5% so we can secure ballot access.
And that really was the goal. Yeah. I mean, and I think that, you know, we knew that, and remember that by the time we got on the ballot, you know, the hardest part was getting the signatures still. I mean, we talk about 3,000,
yeah,
2,500. We busted our ass to get those signatures, cars and coffee, knocking on doors.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was rough. But once we got through that, you know, the way that I looked at it is we had 2 or 3 months. And with early voting and all of the mail-in stuff that's been going on.
Which I don't think we even had a grasp on until a month before the election anyway.
No. And so you throw that up against us and all of a sudden we were way behind the eight ball. So for me as the chair of the Greater Peoria, I wasn't going to put pressure on anybody. Do what you can. I wanted to make a presence.
Yeah.
So we did our literature drops. We did some yard signs. But I wasn't going to make people go and do crazy amounts of work on this because I knew that the mountain was too high of a climb.
Sure, sure. You know? Well, and I think, you know, when you get into something like this, I mean, in my case, I can't speak for everybody who ran for office. You know, for me, it was just to get 5% initially. But guys like Ken Allison, I mean, he bought a billboard.
Yeah.
He spent money, you know. And actually, guys like Ken, who ran for 88th District against Carla and Keith Summer, I don't know what Carla's last name was.
Carla Bailey Smith.
Smith, that's what it was, yeah. You know, Ken is a business owner, owns several businesses in the Peoria area, and, you know, he had tried to get some resolution from his state senator saying, hey, what are you doing to help me out? Got nothing. And he had great purpose in running.
Yeah, and so Ken and I, just a background on that, that conversation started months prior because I had met Ken, and Ken and I actually served in the military together, and I knew Ken was a badass. Everybody knows Ken is a badass. The guy is special ops guy, literally served 3 combat tours in Afghanistan. I mean, you talk about a tough guy, that's Ken Allison.
Yeah.
The guy that's really done something, that's Ken Allison. And so not only that, he's opened like 5 small businesses in the area. He owns Max Downtown, Full Throttle across the river.
CarStar up in Pioneer Park.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and he's a certified public accountant, so that's one of his things. So the guy is just a talented guy with a background that's just, nobody can beat that background.
No.
And so I talked to him months before and said, hey, would you ever think about running for office? You seem like a libertarian.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems, you know, most people you talk to, or you seem
that's,
like a libertarian.
That's the whole point. You give them those little thumb tests and everybody, you know, most everybody.
People believe in limited government, you know. And so Ken was no different. And then when he decided that he wasn't getting a resolution, because his businesses, to this day, are under attack.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, enough is enough. And I finally called him. I said, you sure you don't want to run? He's like, you know what? I think I do. But before he accepted an offer with me, he went and talked to the Republican Party.
Hey, good for him.
And you can't blame him, yeah. He went and talked to the Republican Party because he's a conservative kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they basically told him to go pound sand.
Seriously?
Yeah. They told him, Chuck Weaver over here had a meeting with him out at the Weaver farm. That's what he does. He brings him out to the farm and basically said, you need to wait your turn. And Ken said, I can't wait my turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to run now. Somebody needs to do something. And this guy over here, Keith Sommer, isn't even answering his phone.
Yeah.
And so he came to us, and I said, Ken, we'll do what we can. We brought on a guy named Anthony Gardner, who's just one of the best campaign managers in the area. But you know, one, we were facing the third-party effect. Mm-hmm. But on top of it, we were in the middle of a pandemic. So we had everything stacked against us, but Ken is an amazing candidate. And he did so well, and it's disappointing because I think he was one of the lower performers for us.
Well, we could debate that back and forth. I mean, he was one of the few guys in a lot of these who's running a 3-party race.
Yeah,
you know,
but he put in so much work, and the guy is just a stud. And I just, whatever he does in the future, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
I would love to see him primary Keith Sommer.
Oh yeah,
you know,
no, I'd be all for it. I'd back him on that.
Yeah, we would just basically say, hey, we're the Libertarian, and we're coming to get you in your own home court.
Sorry, Mr. Weaver, but this is the way it's going to
be. This is how it's going to be. Yeah, exactly. I think that Ken did a great job. But to sum up, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Republicans seem to just be content with voting for their party. even when it's a guy that's done nothing. The guy has literally no legislation to his name.
Yeah.
And so when I look over at the 88th District, Morton, Washington, I think you were in the 88th too, right?
No, actually, it's north of Broadway, so I think I was actually out of it.
Out of it.
I wanted to have a sign in my yard, and I did have a couple of the signs maybe cheating the edge of the territory.
That's okay. But what I'm saying is that I don't want to hear it from those people. Yeah. You know, if you voted for Keith Sommer and you're mad that the governor is shutting things down, or you're mad that the FOID cards are taking 8 months to get renewed, or any of the things that are going on in Illinois, you had a choice and you made it. And you made the choice to pick the choice that you always made.
Yeah.
So stop complaining.
Well, the other thing about that, it's not like, oh, I'm going to have the Republican bloc working for me in the Illinois Congress.
Right, right.
They're useless. They've been useless for years. Even when Rauner was there, they were useless. So why wouldn't you just go for the third party at that point?
Exactly.
You know, you had nothing to lose, especially here in central Illinois.
And Rauner, to his credit, at least he put that budget stalemate out. And the Republicans wouldn't even stay, they didn't even stick together on that.
No, no.
So tell me what the Republicans have done for you, and then maybe I'll listen.
Okay.
But
Keith brought up a great point. Ken brought up a great point.
Yeah.
Keith Sommer made pumpkin pie the official pie of the state of Illinois.
I am so sorry,
that
guys.
Is the one piece of legislation he got through the Congress.
No, my bad. Keith Sommer is a hero. pumpkin pie is now the official pie of Illinois. So now we can rest easy at night. So.
Until Madigan wants lemon key lime or something,
Yeah, tell that to W.E. Sullivan's now that their doors are shut.
Yeah.
Well, I know that your business is done, but you know, pumpkin pie is the official state of Illinois.
So Morton should be happy for that anyway.
But
he was the guy who encompassed like both counties. Which was pretty cool. But Tazewell County, Peoria County. How many candidates were in Peoria County?
We had five.
Five.
One, two, three, four, five. We had six. Six.
Six candidates.
Six. We had the three in Tazewell.
I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah. Three. Oh, because you're counting Ken.
Ken, yeah.
Okay.
So.
It was... I thought, you don't have a pet.
No,
But then your love is walking
My
in
lover
the door.
Is walking in the door.
Anyway, I did not mean to segue into that.
No.
Okay, so getting back to the 5%. You know, again, when I got into this whole thing, it was all about 5%. It's like, all right, I'm gonna do my thing. It's so easy to say, I'm gonna sit back and do nothing and get 5%. It's a lot harder when people start walking up to you and go, did I see you're on the ballot coming up here in November? And you're like, oh yeah. And as things start kicking up and as your friends start struggling with the business because the governor is like freaking out, doing all kinds of crazy COVID stuff, you're like, wait a second, I got a bully pulpit here. I got people following. I got an influence possibly I could throw out there. The 5% number all of a sudden seems like, well, I'm going to get the 5%, I would think. How am I not going to screw this up from here? And so now I got to start maybe running for this thing and having a little, I won't say have a little fun with it, but maybe use it for what it could be worth to businesses and friends and stuff like that.
Well, and it's interesting because I watched you from afar, you know.
Yeah.
Actually,
I would be interested to hear your feedback on that because you watched it. I didn't realize what was happening until I got, as I watched the timeline months later, then you start realizing what happened.
Yeah, and so you watched basically that you started, we got the signatures, and you really kicked ass, Eric, with
the
signatures.
Dude, that was the hardest part.
Yeah, it really was.
And after we got the signatures, like, all right, I'm done, I'm kicked back, I get the 5% now, right?
And then I think that it was about the time that you got your yard signs, is I think that that's when it hit you, that, hey, shit, I'm running for office. And so when that happened,
I never thought about that. But you're right.
I think that that's what turned up. When you see your name on the marquee, I think that that's what
we have to start talking at that point.
Yeah. And so we start, and then people were excited. I think that there were people that were excited.
Yeah.
And so that's what I saw. And then all of a sudden, you started putting out more stuff on social media. And I saw you just start to come into your own as a candidate.
Yeah.
And that was about the time that you, because we had talked before. And we were like talking about, well, we probably should get some sort of a platform together.
Yeah.
But you already had these issues innately in you,
Yeah, but when we were sitting there talking about door hangers, I mean, one of the things the party provided for all the local candidates was door hangers.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, you guys need to get us some pictures. You need to get us some bullet points for your,
your platform, like, I don't have a platform. I don't have a picture. You know, actually, and the picture you guys took sucked. But, you know, whatever.
But we got the picture done, and then we've got these door hangers. But I think that, you had your issues. I mean, you weren't just running for nothing. You started to think, hey, my internet sucks out here.
Yeah.
Hey, my property taxes have gone up.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's unfortunate, and I think we talked about this maybe at the beginning, just talking about what your experience is with this, and none of us have done this before.
No.
Yeah. I mean, we're literally coming from a blank slate. Imagine if we could have been candidates with an established party, how we could have handled this. There would have been like, oh, you need to do this, this, and this. I'm going to help you. There'd be people. There'd be handlers, Donnie.
Making
sure you didn't screw this step up or miss anything.
You wouldn't have had a Donnie Henry there saying, well, I think you should do this. But no, but he's right. You know, Eric, you're right. It's just basically we started super late in the game.
Yeah.
And you made the point that, you know, David Zimmerman
he knew a year ahead of time.
Yeah. And to the point where you couldn't even get a shake. I mean, they were putting articles out still, a month out from the election.
Dead articles just sitting out there for a year that you couldn't get them to update.
But they even put out, didn't they put an article out that said David Zimmerman's running unopposed at one point?
Those were all dead articles. Okay. Their articles have been out for a year.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get those all corrected. Mm-hmm. And I tried to reach out to Nick Vallos from the Journal Star, WCBU.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, WHOI, WEK, all these different places. Hey, this article is factually wrong.
Yeah.
I need equal representation. Can you at least say, he's running against this candidate? Never a response. Nick from the PJ Star, to his credit, responded and said, I'll let my editor know.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well,
which sucks. I kind of like that guy, but whatever. I
think Nick probably did let his editor know.
He probably did.
I know Nick. He's a good guy. I just think that, they're just not used to us. And this was so at the last minute that we threw a wrench in their plans. And think about this, Eric. And we know our mutual friend Chris Buckley works at one of the stations in the area. And they had to redo all of their election night coverage stuff.
Have pictures
of you guys and to have a third ticker.
That's true. That's true.
You know?
No, I never thought about that. Two months we started leading into this thing. But yeah, by the time we got towards election day, and there's no pre-polling. I mean,
no.
If I'm a local media outlet, I'm like, those wackos of the Libertarian Party could get 1%. We don't know what's going on over there. But wasn't the Peoria County guy got 30%?
Yeah.
Joe.
That's Joe.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe Rush, I mean, great guy, really great libertarian, but Joe is just a busy guy, and he did, and like a lot of you guys jumped in to just get the job done.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe didn't put a lot of time into this, and this guy got 30%.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if we would have ran a whole campaign with
that's
him.
Literally a condemnation of the Peoria County auditor. Is it auditor position?
It's literally
people looking at that going, this is a joke, and this guy here, Joe, I don't know if Joe had a sign up really anywhere. No,
he did have signs.
Did he have signs?
He did put signs up. And the thing about Joe is, so he runs, he's a young man too. I think he's 22 now.
Yeah.
But
really?
Yeah, I think he's 22.
That's why he has that amazing beard.
Yeah, low 20s, he's a young man. But he runs like the biggest 18 and over baseball league in Peoria.
Oh.
He does it all. He does the field. He's redone Old Woodruff down there.
Nice.
Puts it all together. So he knows a ton of people.
Okay.
But to take that all away, what I'm saying is that if he would have been serious about it, I think that auditor would have been in trouble. Jessica Thomas would have had some issues. Yeah. I'm not saying she would have lost, but I think that the news would have taken a lot more notice.
Yeah, so getting back to the whole point of the media, I don't know if the media had an idea what to take seriously. So you have to believe that 2 years from now, 4 years from now, the media says, oh, there's libertarian candidates on there. Probably need to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started running, getting back to the 5%, and I think everybody else of the nine candidates besides Ken Allison, I don't think any of the nine besides Ken were ready to even talk to anybody on TV or talk on the radio or anything like that.
I probably would have been
shaking in my boots. Now, that's not to say I've talked to Robbins and I've been, I've talked to those guys on the morning show and stuff like that. Way to go. He's drinking a Michelob Ultra, so apparently the night's dialing down.
It's all I've got, guys. Well, I was saving you that other...
Oh, you didn't have to give me that third one.
Oh, well, anyways. Anyway. But digress.
But no, but I mean, I was comfortable talking to those guys if I had to, but I wasn't really strong in any of my opinions about anything. And it wasn't until the governor started rolling out some stuff that I'm like, wait a second. I have some serious feelings about what's going on here. And I tell you what, as I started walking and talking to people, putting the signs out like you were talking about, mm-hmm. and started getting some feedback from people, that's when I started getting like really pissed.
Well, and you're passionate. You know, I know how passionate you are about Delavan down there.
Yeah.
I've seen you so many times.
Yeah, I did probably 3 or 4 videos in Delavan because that town pisses me off more than anything.
And the reason is because it was starting to get to a point where it was starting to be a destination.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you see what happens is that, you know, places like Chicago, Peoria, you know, someone's going to fill in the gap here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not a huge amount. I do think that there could be some serious ramifications, but these things will recover.
Yeah.
A place like Delavan, they may never recover.
No.
Because they had people that were investing. Now they're gone.
Yeah.
Who else is coming into Delavan to invest?
Yeah.
It's,
well, and then you start talking to business owners. I mean, the one guy I talked to who was personal friends with the owners of the storefront there said, hey, a chef, a well-known chef was wanting to buy or to lease that space and make a restaurant, a chef farm-to-table restaurant mm-hmm, there, mm-hmm. which would be amazing. And the facilities is beautiful. I don't know if you ever ate there when it was open.
The Harvest. It was Harvest Cafe. Yeah.
But the kitchen in the back was immaculate. The front of the house was beautiful. The bar was beautiful. It's a great little spot to have a nice little chef-inspired restaurant. But he was not going to spend his money or risk any of his investment on that restaurant during COVID year.
You can't.
No. And it just sucks knowing that there's nothing that, you know, the state could do something, the county could do something, you know, even the city could do something they wanted, they could try, you know, to alleviate the pain, to try and mitigate the risk. I mean, mm-hmm. that's where we're at this point. Mm-hmm. We got to try and at least keep business going. Because all we've done now, we didn't even hit the pause button. Mm-hmm. We literally hit the stop button. And recovering from a stop button is going to be far worse than just kind of alleviating a little pain.
Slowing it down, yeah. And here's the thing is that obviously as a libertarian, you know, I look at this and I'm like, okay, the only authority that should be there would be the local community. But you know, we don't live in this perfect utopia.
No.
So,
and it gets kind of ugly because we get into this anti-libertarian thought with assistance for business
right.
and stuff
but,
like that.
But let's even just, because Justin Amash is a libertarian, he's a congressman, and one of the things that he says, you know, if we live in this society where the federal government has so much money and so much power, then the federal government has a requirement to aid, to give us aid. We send the money there, they should send it back if we need it. And so this would be the time where we need them, and the time that we needed them, they gave more money to the banks and the airlines than they did to the small businesses.
Well, and this is exactly Pritzker, too. I mean, Pritzker has so much power to shut us down, but where is the assistance on the backside of that?
There is none, and he doesn't have any. The guy's begging. No. I mean, you talk about the tax. He's trying to get more money out of us.
Yeah, and the Illinois CARES Act, and you can go online and look at this. This is actually very telling. If you look and see all the businesses in your local area that have gotten money from the mm-hmm. CARES Act, the funny thing is, there's a lot of money. I think it was like $175 million was doled out in the last. And I think we're on the second phase. They're going for their third phase. Mm-hmm. But there's only like 10 businesses in Tazewell County that got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elevate Trampoline Park, some restaurant here. Some, you know, so you mean to tell me only 10 places in Tazewell County filed for that money? I would tell you there's probably 10 businesses that knew how to file,
mm-hmm.
and the other 200, 300 businesses that probably should have filed for it didn't know any better, because it's not there. There's nobody walking around or telling anybody. Their state representative isn't telling them, hey, you should do this.
Yeah. They don't even answer the phone.
Yeah, Keith Summers not calling out and telling people, hey, you know, we need to take care of you.
Well, isn't that the issue, right? We have these programs in government that are meant for their cronies.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are connected are the ones that get the help.
Chicago, Cook County had plenty of people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean, now, by population, obviously, they're going to have a lot more people than McLean County, Tazewell County, Peoria County, but still. Come on.
It's just a sad state of affairs. Yeah. And working in government for many years, I can tell you that government is so complicated that navigating that system, if you're an outsider, is nearly impossible. It's like speaking another language.
Yeah.
It literally would be like knowing Spanish and walking to a place and trying to communicate with someone that only speaks English. I mean, it's that difficult, you know? It's crazy.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. But, so, yeah, so it was that passion. It was that Delavan thing that happened. I think it might have been one day at Delavan I just got really PO'd. I think I did.
I remember that day. Yeah, it was the day it was very windy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think so. And yeah. I was just like, look, there's a restaurant. Yeah. It used to be open. I had great memories in that place. And now nobody will open that place.
But it's crazy because when I looked at that video, I'm looking at downtown Delavan, this beautiful downtown.
Yeah.
And you were the only person in sight.
Yeah, right.
Where was everybody?
Yeah, not downtown.
Not downtown, yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's sad. And I just think that, you know, this is... The problem is that when we do these mitigation, you know, things to lock down or whatever you want to call it, they're not making any sense. They're arbitrarily taking down small businesses, but then you walk into a Walmart and the place is packed.
And you can touch anything. You go touch a bottle of shampoo, take your hands back off it. Nobody's sanitizing that.
Nobody.
I told somebody the other day, I said, my kid has three friends over in the basement right now. They're playing games. And I can guarantee you right now, it's cleaner at a restaurant for those three kids to sit at and do something. It is in my basement. You know,
they're licking the controllers, licking the doorknobs.
Yeah, exactly.
They're kids. That's what they do.
No, the restaurants are not a problem.
No, and that's a great point because I think that if you go to any of these good restaurants, you know, W. Sullivan's, Broadway Lounge just closed. They were literally, you would leave somewhere and they would be down there spraying.
Yeah.
In Walmart, they're not doing that.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
And that's why I think that we look at, and this is similar to all of the things that we talk about. You know, you look at Amazon and Walmart and all these Target and all these big businesses, they don't care about this. This is great for them because when this is all done, they'll still be there.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to take that share of the market.
They can take a little hit, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so this is scary for our entire society. Yeah.
The other thing that aggravated me was the lack of transparency or any conversation from the guy I was running against.
Yeah, he didn't even want to talk.
There was nothing anywhere. You could Google the hell out of this guy and look for anything and try to go to a county board notes and just look up the PDF.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I mean, it's so hard to read. There's no transparency.
Like, I've never even seen this guy.
Well, I've seen his picture on the press releases, but even on the videos that the county clerk was putting
on. You don't
on,
see him.
No, because it's behind
him. Yeah, it's behind him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only person you see is John Ackerman.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, it's the only one. You just see the side of his head. What are we doing here?
I don't know, man.
I mean, I know that, you know, Tazewell County is, you know, it's an old school county, but I think we can get some better video recording.
No, I agree.
But you can't get internet out there, so I guess maybe not.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that was the aggravating part. And that was another thing that I think that put a spur in my saddle. Yeah.
But I just think that you developed as a candidate. I think that what you found out, at least I hope that this is what you found out, is that you do have a passion for that. And I think that, you know, we've talked about this, that maybe the next step is to... You know, the board chairman was a big step, and we did that for ballot access.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of confusing for people, too. They're like, well, what are you running for? I'm like, well, Tazewell County Board Chair. Oh, County Board. And I'm like, no, the chair.
The chair. Top dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, why do you get into it? You dive in with both feet. Dive in. Sorry. Jump in with both feet. And because you're trying to get 5%.
Yeah.
The whole goal, and I figured I'm a Tazewell County guy. I should go for the whole board area, the whole county area. So the board chair would be... the position for that. But in hindsight, could I have gotten 5% in my own district? Probably.
Yeah.
But it was riskier.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, go big or go home, right?
But remember that if you did that in that district, the only thing that you would have qualified for was that district.
Oh,
had to do the chairman. Yeah. But I will say this, with Caden running, he could have gotten the job done.
But we didn't know.
We didn't know.
Yeah. Again,
you
know, if we were a well-oiled political machine, which we're not,
no,
we would have known all these things.
But we're getting stronger every day. Yeah. I think there's a Chicago song about that. So.
No, we're never going to sing Chicago. No matter how much Michelob Ultra you drink, that's not going to happen.
Well, so I hope that you feel better about it, and I think that that's the next step. I think that we...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So I don't know what the positions will be open in 2 years versus 4 years. I did save a lot of my signs. That's been my biggest thing. I think God, my wife, she collected signs all over the county after it was over. I even got some competitor signs. I got some Curran signs. I got some, she even took a couple of Pritzker Suck signs. I'm like, no, you shouldn't have taken those. You know, she's like, well, I was just picking signs up.
They
I'm like,
come
no,
in handy.
Those aren't political signs. You should, you know, anyway.
Well, but, the most valuable thing are those freaking stands.
But yeah. I think she saw that. Every time there was a stake somewhere, she's like, I'm taking that sign. I'm like, oh, no, honey, you can't do that. So I told her on the Pritzker sign, like, somebody paid for that Pritzker sign. You can't be taking that crap out of there.
You know, it's worth it.
Because Pritzker still sucks.
He does suck, so it's still valid.
But. No, the we'll see what happens in like I said, 2 or 4 years. What positions open? Whether it makes sense to run for a smaller spot. The nice thing I've talked about with you is I maybe parlayed this into a school board seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the guy that got the Tazewell County auditor position that Caden didn't win, Mr. Grimm. Is on the school board in Mackinac. And there's a small caveat about people who live in Tremont Township, but the kids go to Mackinac, there has to be representation from that small area of like 50 houses. And him and I are both in that area. So at one point during the election, he's like, hey, would you be interested in my school board seat? And I'm like, you know what? I think I would. So I still have a kid in high school out there in Mackinac. So I may not have won the county board chair, but I may have actually parlayed this into a small political seat just to kind of get my feet going in this whole thing.
How cool is it that you got to connect with a guy that you would have never connected with otherwise?
And he's my neighbor.
Yeah, and you never knew it.
And we have a bunch of stuff in common. It's like I told my wife the other day, though. I said, you know, we're neighbors, and he's into wheeling. He's into this. He's got kids. He struggles with the internet. He's got all these same things. I'm like, well, yeah, because we live in the same area. We probably have the same values and the same thought process. That's the same reason we moved out to where we moved out to, right?
Yeah.
So we probably have a ton in common. So, yeah, I may have made a new friend. You never know.
Yeah, and I think that that's – I think most of the time – and see, here's the thing. I told you –
You were wrong.
I was wrong. So I was wrong because I said, by the end of this, you're going to be friends with David Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And I think you would have had he have even talked to you.
Maybe.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
Was I just don't think that, you know.
Think about if you're Tazewell County and you're a candidate who's been on there 18 years is what this guy's been on there, and somebody shows up on the ballot against you as a Libertarian, you're probably like, what is this? And then you talk to some people in the party, the Republican Party, and say, hey, what's going on with this Libertarian? Eh, they're nothing. Don't worry about them, you know.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing, and I hate to rehash stuff. You've watched my 17-minute video, which is probably, you know, shorter than this podcast. But when I ran for this, I thought, I'm going to get 5%. 12,000 people undervoted in Tazewell County 4 years ago. I'm like, all I got to do is just get a fraction of those 12,000 people that undervoted.
Done.
I got 5%, man. I'm locked in. Man, and like I said, I always feel like I'm repeating myself, but I undervote all the time. And in Tazewell County, in Allentown Hall, where I go, there's always an election judge. When the machine will spit it back out, or it'll put up a red light and say, undervote. And the guy will look at me and go, are you sure you want to do that? You undervoted. And I'm like, damn right I wanted to undervote. And so I thought I was alone, because it literally seems like every time I do this, it's traumatic. You know?
Yeah.
These guys are like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? You didn't vote fully. And so I'm like, I must be the only person in Tazewell County or Allentown Hall who undervotes. But there was 12,000 people last time. So I'm like, well, those 12,000 people, they must be Democrats, or they must be people not happy with Zimmerman. But I don't really know what's going on there. But if I can just get a fraction of those people, I'll be all right. So this election was historic for the presidential election, for every election, because it was a monster turnout. I think the last election, 60,000 people out of the 90,000 electorate showed up. This time it was 70,000 people out of the 90,000 showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And when that night happened, you know, we all went down to Max downtown, mm-hmm. Ken Allison's business, great little place right next to Kelleher's, and had a nice party. And this has to be your first time, kind of. I mean,
it was my first time being that vested. I remember when Brandon ran in the Heights, I was pretty nervous, but this really was the first time that I was super vested.
And I was sick to my stomach all that day.
Yeah,
I just was nervous, had a good breakfast, but I went to work. Somebody said, why don't you just go home? I'm like, hell no, I'm going to work. I don't want to think about the election all day. I don't want to think about people going to vote for me all day. And I certainly wasn't going to go around. I guess I could have tried to petition news places or whatever, but that wasn't my style. And I certainly knew I wasn't going to win at that point anyway.
And they weren't having it anyway. So.
Yeah. So that night we go out to Max, and Caden's there, and the other candidates are there.
And I remember we get there at what 6:45, 7
yeah,
o'clock,
right around.
But I don't think any election results actually shook till like 8:15.
Yeah, I think so. Tazewell was pretty slow too.
They were slow, super slow. Thanks, Mr. Ackerman.
Yeah, it was suspense.
That's for sure. Well, here's my thing. I was thinking they're going to release floodgates. They're going to open up the numbers to show all the people who voted early.
Yeah,
all the mail-ins, all the early, just bam. There's going to be 20,000 votes right there. That's not what they did.
No.
They literally, the first batch of ballots they exposed to were like 1,300 total. It was like 1,100 for Zimmerman and 200 for me. And I'm like,
oh, no.
And maybe it was less than that. Maybe it was like 100 and some for me. And it was just like, and my wife, she's so nice. She's like, oh, look, you got 180 votes. And I'm like, and that's when I walked over to Caden. I'm like, I don't really want to throw up until right now.
No.
That was rough. But I think we stayed there until...
You stayed there till it was pretty much done.
10:15, I think the total, I think it was 99% were in. And I ended up getting 13,000.
13,291.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
But the 13,000, and all I could think of, honestly, was going back to the undervote. I'm like, so there was 12,000 undervotes in the last election.
Yeah.
I got those 12,000 undervotes. I got 1,000 people I know. That's exactly how my mindset was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, that's in my mind, that's what was going on. So the next day, and I hate to say I wasn't doing my work at my job, but at one point I pulled up the election results. Because you'll know this someday, because Donnie's going to run for office, I guarantee it. Yeah, you will.
We'll see.
Yeah. You have two ways to go, Donnie. You're either going to run for office or you're definitely going to be the puppet master. One of the two.
One of the two.
Your choice. But anyway, I was sitting there and I was doing some more math on it. I'm like, wait a second. I got 13,000. Zimmerman got 48,000, but there was 70,000 vote. Wait a second. There's 7,000 people. Still
didn't.
7,000 people saw my name and his name and said, you know what? Not voting for either of those
guys.
Not
for either of you guys.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
So really, you only took 5,000 of the undervote that you thought you were going to get?
Yeah.
So we definitely busted into his numbers.
I think so. I think so. And who knows? You'll never know. And Donnie and I have had a conversation, you know, before, even after the election, talking about what if there would have been a Democrat on there. Would have skewed everything, I'm sure.
Oh, it
definitely was undervotes. Would have definitely gone Democrats, I'm sure. But it would have been very interesting to see, you know. And this is just is it a chink in the armor? Or is it just, you know, tip of the iceberg? I don't know. You know.
Yeah, well, we're going to see. Eric and I have always talked, and this may not be popular with libertarians, but I think that, you know, this is about moving the liberty movement, you know? And so whatever we've got to do, if this libertarian movement takes off in the local area, great. If it doesn't, then so be it.
Yeah.
But it's about saving this community. I think that and you feel this way about Tazewell County.
Yeah.
I somewhat feel like this about in Peoria County.
Your adopted county.
My adopted county. But I do feel like this place is worth fighting for, you know? And so... We've got to find a way to make it work. I don't care. Any means necessary, you know?
Yeah. I think the hardest thing, and we talked a lot about this, and maybe we should have had this maybe earlier in the show, was that if you're a libertarian on this side of the river, Peoria County, I think you maybe paint yourself a little bit differently than a libertarian on the Tazewell side.
Completely, yeah.
And maybe that's maybe the draw to become the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County versus Peoria County. Well,
and maybe it's not painting. Maybe it's just reality.
Yeah.
I mean, you live over here in Peoria County. You're more urban.
Yeah.
You have different situations.
Yeah.
And in a rural area, your situations are different, you know? So I just think that what's important to you based on where you live in the counties is different, you know?
It'll be interesting to see how it goes forward. I'm telling you, it's the scariest thing about the whole thing.
Breaking
up the band.
Yeah, but we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And this, I think that the best days, because of our movement, I think the best days of this area could be, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
And that's really the take home.
Yeah, I think, you know, and this wasn't supposed to be all about me, but I think, you know, the take home for me was Inman. I think Tom Inman showed that you can be an independent candidate in a small area and definitely have a chance against, you know, an established candidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the person he was running against was Dave Kaler's henchman or
Staffer. I think it was his top aide, you know.
Really. It's just makes me sick. You know, the way
I watch the county board meetings, and I read the notes, and I see, oh, this guy's going to step away from the board so he can run for a maintenance position with the county for 2 months, and he's going to come back. And I'm like, you know, and you see stuff like this all the time. Like, this is just, you know, one hand helping the other all the time. Once you're on the in crowd, you can just get away with murder with
these
people.
It's insane. It's insane. And remember that this, so this is the craziest part. So both of our candidates that were running in Peoria County for county board seats, both of them were running against people that were political appointees.
Appointees.
So Linda Daly was Ryan Spain's staffer, who was appointed to the county board. Mm-hmm. And then, who, by all accounts, just to be clear, by all accounts, she seems like she's a great county board member. Obviously, I'd have preferred Chris.
Yeah.
I think he'd been a better fiscal conservative, all of those things like libertarians are. But it sounds like Linda Daly's a good county board member. But Jennifer Allison over here, she's a Dave Kaler appointee. So none of them were actually elected by the people. And so I just think that what Tom did over there was just impressive. Yeah. But he couldn't keep up. He would put two signs out, and they had the money to put 10 signs out. And then you throw in the fact that she's throwing out mailers, and somehow she was able to get an endorsement from Sheriff Asbell, you know, which we could go into that. But bottom line is that Sheriff Asbell had promised that prior to knowing that Tom was running.
Yeah.
But so we're not angry at Sheriff Asbell about that. But bottom line is when you get an endorsement from a popular sheriff and you've got money for mailers. I mean, she had all the money that Dave Kaler had to his disposal.
Sure.
So Tom, the fact that Tom got 49, let me get it accurate, 49.56% on election day got 38.54%, that means that we have a chance to really change people's hearts and minds in that area.
No, I think, I mean, it just goes to show that if you're a well-known, not to say, you don't have to be a well-known person, but if you're somebody that people can look to, that you can trust, you know, it doesn't matter what name, what party's behind you, you actually have a chance at this. So,
yeah.
Tom has definitely shown that. That actually gave me more courage probably in the next election to maybe run for maybe my local district.
Yeah, absolutely.
And under my own name, and not that I wasn't under my own name, but just using my name in my smaller area and trying to make a change that way.
And I'll say this, that I think that the lessons that we learned in this short campaign are invaluable. And the campaign team that we created, I think we go into a county board race again, and we have a whole year to do it.
Yeah.
There's no door we won't hit.
Well, think about the media, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the media ignored us completely. So now you say, oh, wait a second, those libertarians got 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just a matter of they got 3% like a national candidate or something like that.
Yeah.
They got 20%. That's legit at that point.
If you ignore that, then you are literally not reporting the news.
Yeah.
So I think that we have a...
It makes it better. Makes it easier for us.
Absolutely.
And I think any candidate like myself or Caden or any of these other guys can now speak. Once you've been through the cycle, once you've been through this, I have to imagine it gets easier for us. So
it's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be. And if it isn't, well, then we...
Then we suck.
Yeah. But hey, and I always said this, and I think this is important that, you know... And I think I don't use this as, you know, a whole lifetime, but back in Back to the Future... I don't know if you remember that scene where Michael J. Fox is playing the electric guitar.
Yeah.
And he's at that, you know, he's back in the past, and he's playing in the 50s.
Okay.
And he's playing Johnny B.
Oh,
Goode.
Yeah.
And he does that Chuck Berry. Yeah, he does that Chuck Berry, and he does all that electric guitar, and they're all just staring at him. And he gets up and he says, "You're not ready for that.
Yeah.
But your kids are going to love it." And I believe that that is our movement. I think that they weren't ready for it this time, but who knows? A couple election cycles... They're going to love it.
That's a great analogy. I would almost argue that I wasn't ready for it.
Well, let's go both ways. Yeah. So, but it was good. I think that the whole election was a learning process, and we did very well. So I'm proud of everybody.
No, I'm totally proud. It was amazing. 9 candidates, just tons of time. How many votes, Donnie?
Let's say this, 107,279 votes.
107,000 people.
It's a beautiful thing.
Ticked an L.
It's...
Yeah,
107,000.
I don't want to say that they ticked a nail. They ticked a name that was, you know, opposition to the status quo. Because in Peoria County, they're mostly unopposed. Mm-hmm. Tazewell County, they're unopposed. So,
but isn't that the take home? This is the problem with our politics today. Most candidates in this state run unopposed.
Yeah,
and so the status quo just continues to run rampant.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that when we challenge these candidates, they become better candidates.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just throw this out there. I listened to that county board meeting that we both listened to.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, after Eric talked about rural internet, they just formed a committee in Tazewell County to talk about rural internet. And so that's powerful.
I must have missed that part of the meeting because it's so hard to listen to.
Boring and it's hard to see, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that that's the takeaway is that we're running on issues and they have to listen.
Yeah.
And if they don't listen, then they know that's going to be a liability for them next time. So we're making dents.
All right. You know? Well, it's all because of you, Donnie. So
that's because of you.
Yeah. Nah, it's because of you. Because of you. We just keep pointing at each other and smiling.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we nailed down a lot tonight. What I'd like to do though is I think it'd be awesome if during COVID if we could still have some of these meetings and have maybe even after some of the monthly meetings we still have a podcast.
Yeah. No, so, I think we should do it more often. Maybe adjust with the format. So if people have suggestions out there,
Absolutely. I would love to have 10 people around this table right now because I guarantee you right now Dana'd have some thoughts, Chad would have some thoughts, but. It's just going to have to be the reality with COVID, right?
We'll do what we can. And honestly, I mean, in a world with limited beers like Michelob Ultra, there's limited people as well. So
that's good. Because I have a drive home.
Yes. Anyway.
All right. So this has been fun. And hopefully you can tune in, listen to some old episodes. Tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. Again, thank you for the support. It was amazing, but I would be nowhere without my hero, Donnie Henry, who won't take a compliment.
And right back at you, my hero, Eric Stahl. Thank you, guys.
I'm pointing at him.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.